Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I don't think that we have had this conversation yet about Chris Jones, but it feels like it is worth asking. The Chiefs are paying Chris Jones a lot of money. They paid Chris Jones a third contract. Now, you don't have any problems giving him that second contract. He certainly was worthy of that. But that third contract is where things get a little bit tricky. And you know the old saying that you want to pay a player for what he is going to do, not what he has done. And usually you want to be maybe a little bit too early to the party as opposed to being too late to the party. Well, the Chiefs, they got Chris Jones on the roster for at least this year and next year. There is no really moving on from his deal. If they got rid of him, and obviously they're not getting rid of him, but he would have a dead cap of $71 million, and next year it's $48 million. So Chris Jones is on the team for the next 2 years. So if you're wondering, let's not even entertain that possibility. That ain't what we're talking about. But I only bring these numbers up because yesterday we were looking at how much the Chiefs have had to blitz over the first couple of games of the season. The Chiefs right now lead the NFL in zero blitzes. So I'm talking about no safety. We are sending the house. We are sending the dogs. That is more than the Bills, Packers, Saints, Eagles, Niners, Texans, Falcons, Lions, Rams, Chargers, Bengals, and Panthers combined. They have done this 14 times. They blitzed Jalen Hurts on over 60% of his dropback passes on Sunday. He dropped back 25 times. They sent a blitz on 16 of those. To me, the Chiefs are trying to overcompensate because they don't think they can get pressure with their front four. Well, you spent a lot of money on your front four. Chris Jones, one of the highest paid defensive players in the league. You just gave George Karlaftis a big deal. If there's any team that feels like they should get pressure with their front four, it's the Chiefs. Over the last 17 games for Chris Jones, he has 5 sacks. If you look at 2023, so this was the year that he held out for the first game. He got the new contract. He got 10.5 sacks. In 2022, Chris Jones was 28 years old. Chris Jones got 15.5 sacks in 17 games. I'm just simply here looking at the numbers, and I know that it's more than just sack numbers. It's pressure. It's quarterback hits. It's hurries. It's all of those things. In 3 years, we have seen Chris Jones go from 15.5 sacks in 22, 10.5 sacks in 23, 5 sacks in 2024. You are cutting your numbers by 50% in each of the last 3 years. Now, I'm not telling you he's going to get 2.5 sacks and repeat that trend, but this defense was at its absolute best, and it worked when Chris Jones was a double-digit sack guy, when he was an absolute menace at getting to the quarterback And he was one of the best at it, especially from that position. That's not traditionally a position in which where you get great pass rush. So if you're getting 9, 10.5 sacks, a 15.5 sack season, that's you being the best defensive tackle in the league. That's you being a first ballot Canton guy. That's just not where you get that kind of production. He had 5 sacks last year. So far this season, he has 1 hit on the quarterback. One of the flaws right now in the defense and why they're trying to overcompensate is there is not winning matchups up front. And a big reason why they're not winning matchups up front is Chris Jones isn't getting home anymore nearly at the pace in which he was back in 22 and 23. So for a player who you are committed to for the next 18 months, you've got the rest of this year and you got all of next year for a player who's 31 years old and will be 32 years old for all of next season. Man, part of what could help this defense, part of what could help those young corners, that young secondary, is Chris Jones and George Karlaftis. They got to be dogs. That's what you're paying for. You're paying Chris Jones the amount of money that you're paying him, and you gave him $98 million guaranteed, partly for he can help you get after the quarterback. You gave George Karlaftis this because you felt like George Karlaftis could turn into Max Crosby, and he could be one of those pass rushers. So if you're using the case that now teams double-team Chris Jones, all right, cool. Then that means you got one-on-one opportunities for either Charles Omenihu or George Karlaftis on the other side, and they should be eaten up front. That is not what I'm seeing currently from this defensive line.
I will be the first to admit, when it was, he was sitting in the front row during the Lions game and all the stuff. I was first team All-American, sign Chris Jones. Get him on the field, sign for the mega deal in the offseason. Chris Jones is an integral part of what makes the Chiefs defense good. He's the best pass rusher. He's a pass rusher from the inside. I hear all the time about how former quarterbacks say they don't like pressure in their face. That's more problematic than a guy off the edge. I was all about signing Chris Jones the contract, and I still think the contract the Chiefs signed him to was the right call. But the fact of the matter is, since signing the deal, he has not been good enough. Now, I'm not asking to do this. You're probably not asking to do this. I think the Chiefs are asking to get back to that 21.5 sack season. That'd be great if he was doing that again. If he was a 17 sack guy again, we'd all be very happy. We'd probably have a parade in town in February if that happened. But no one's expecting a 30-plus year old to have 21 sacks in the NFL at defensive tackle. But it's got to be more than 5. He cannot be a similar sack guy to insert fine defensive tackle. Not elite defensive tackle, but fine. He's got to be a difference maker. And I understand that if you're the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, the Chargers, the first thing you do on the whiteboard is you circle 95. How do we block him up? I get it's not an easy task, but you're getting paid a lot of money. And I think you helped get George Karlaftis paid a lot of money because you gobble up double teams. One of the two of you needs to get some pressure on the quarterback, because since pen hit paper, it has not lived up to the hype. I still think he can get there because the talent's there, but the production has not been.
I mean, I think one of the things right now about the team is, I mean, the stars of the team are starting to get a little bit older. As of now, and I'm removing Patrick Mahomes from this conversation, their best player and most reliable player on offense is 35 years old. Their best player on defense, or their most important player, you would say, is Chris Jones, and he is 31 years old. This is a league that's kind of full of 20-somethings. This is a league in which the best defensive players, if we go through the list, they're all currently under 30 years old. That's where you get your Watt, your Parsons. Those guys are all under 30 years old. Obviously, the same thing on the offensive side. This is a team where if you want to point to where the injuries have potentially hurt them the most, this is an offense right now that should be centered around a 22-year-old in Rashee Rice. It should be centered around a young guy in Xavier Worthy. But right now, because of the injuries, because of how banged up you are, you got to go back to the Travis Kelce well, and now he's got to be your number one pass-catching option, when I think most people would agree at this stage in his career, he's just not supposed to be your number one option. Your number one option should not be, we believe, entering the final season of their NFL career. On the defensive side, they're really relying on Chris Jones to kind of be that guy and to get to the other team's quarterback. 5 sacks from last season, just that's not enough. It's not enough. Not from who you think is your best defensive player. Not from a guy who 2 seasons ago had 15.5 sacks. So one thing that could help out these young corners is just, you just got to get to the, like, you just got to consistently win with your front four. And if you get to that point, it would drastically change things on the backside. Now, you do wonder if this is a chicken or the egg argument. Is it being harder for the defensive side or the D-line because you got those young corners and now teams are taking advantage of those corners? Or is it the vice versa? It doesn't matter. I made this point yesterday. You got to look at where the Chiefs have decided to spend their resources. So those are the guys that I'm going to, and I'm holding them the most responsible. They obviously hold their quarterback to a very high standard. He's the highest paid player in the National Football League. That goes without saying. They have put a bulk of their resources on the line of scrimmage. They have put a bulk of their resources in center, right guard, and right tackle. They spent draft acquisitions on left tackle. They spent it on a DN who is currently injured. They have spent it on a defensive tackle right now in Chris Jones. They've spent it on George Karlaftis. They haven't spent it at running back. They haven't spent that money at wide receiver. They haven't spent it on corner. They haven't spent it on safety. That is where they have stored up their resources. So if you're asking me, who am I looking to get them out of the hole? I'm looking at where they have a majority of their salary cap locked up in. And it's on the right side of that offensive line, and you just being able to win the point of attack, and it's the same thing on the defensive front. You just saw a team that can do it on both sides of the ball. That's exactly what Philadelphia is. Philadelphia can beat you with their offensive line by being the best offensive line. They also can beat you on the other side of the ball with their defensive line and just getting after your team's quarterback, stopping the run, and having a very disruptive player in the middle in Jalen Carter. That's exactly what the Chiefs need to be on both the offensive line of scrimmage and the defensive line of scrimmage. Coming up in about 20 minutes, Derek Young is going to join us on the show. He covers the Kansas State Wildcats. They are off to a slow start. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got Derek Young about to join the show coming up in, I don't know, about 10 minutes or so. We got James Palmer. He's going to join the show in the 4 o'clock hour. We got a lot going on. We didn't play this yesterday. Now feels like a great time to play it. Here is Nick Wright, friend of the show, and here he is listing off his concerns for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think right now, for reasons I don't totally understand, they have the least effective running game in the league. Just like the, if you remove, and the numbers totally back that up if you remove Patrick running.
Yeah.
So like the, they have been, and I hate seeing Patrick run the ball in September. Never seen it. Don't want to see it. Part of what I think has made him, part of what makes him so special is that he always has, one of the reasons, let me put it like this, he gets so much better in the playoffs, even though he's been so good in regular seasons, is he's had this thing in his back pocket all year that he saves for the playoffs. He is now activating it because what he is seeing is we're not having any success moving the ball otherwise. So, that's a short list, and I could go deeper.
I mean, you definitely could go deeper, at least when talking about some of the concerns for the Chiefs. I told you guys today I'm not going to talk about the running back room. At this point, I think you guys know my feelings on the running back room. You know my position on the running back room. We can't go back in time. We can't go back to March and now say, ooh, we know how this is going to go. How can we fix it? I would just like to say one thing. If Elijah Mitchell can't be active on this Kansas City Chiefs team and he can't help this run game in any capacity, why is he on the roster? If you're telling me that running backs are dime a dozen and you could just find a running back, go outside, they got a running back tree. That's how people treat running back. It's interchangeable. It doesn't matter. You could just find one. I mean, Kareem Hunt was sitting at home playing Call of Duty this time last year. You found him. You picked him up. He led your team in rushing. If Elijah Mitchell doesn't have a role on this team with this running back room, why is he here? Why is he on the roster? What is his role? What is his objective? That's my question. What is his purpose on this team if he can't help them right now when they desperately need something in the run game? At this point, I don't care who it comes from. It could come from Elijah Mitchell. It could come from Bashard Smith. It could come from Bing Back Steele. I don't care who it is. Their run game is not good enough. You need something. I agree with Nick. Asking Patrick Mahomes to carry your run game is not the formula for the Chiefs. That might be the formula for the Ravens. That might be the formula for the Bills. That's not how Kansas City wins games. So I agree. You know I agree. I do think that's one of their biggest problems. They have the worst run game currently in the National Football League. And having the worst run game in the National Football League, in addition to having a banged up wide receiver room, creates very little margin for error on offense, and that's what you currently see with the team. So I would love to ask that question to Brett Veach. What is Elijah Mitchell's role on this team? What is his role on this team? He's your break in case of emergency back? This feels like an emergency to me. This feels like an emergency. They don't have an effective run game. That's it. That's all I got today on running backs. I just wanted to play that for you. I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts and opinions on what Nick Wright had to say. 913-586-7965. That was Nick Wright's list of concerns with the Chiefs. Rob, I have been fascinated by that audio clip at the end of the game. So as the Eagles are kneeing out the clock, Chris Jones is visibly upset. He is yelling at the Eagles. I don't know if he's yelling directly at Jalen Hurts. I don't know if he's yelling at the center. Maybe he's just yelling in general. He don't seem very happy. He is yelling, "You don't even have 100 yards. Jalen Hurts looks at him and says, "Shut up, we're winning." And that's the end of the conversation, because I don't know what real comeback you have for scoreboard. Like, you can't really say anything else other than silence at that point. I do think that our NFL conversations are very funny in this way. Justin Herbert has put up a lot of numbers and stats and yards with no real accomplishments. He's never won MVP, never won his division, hasn't won a playoff game. He hasn't won any of those things. That's not good enough. Even though he has been one of the best regular season quarterbacks, been very productive, that's not good, and we all mock him. And I say we because I have joined in on that when it comes to Justin Herbert. I'm still not a believer in Justin Herbert, and I won't believe until it starts to get cold outside. But then with Hurts, it feels like it's the exact opposite. I would say that Jalen Hurts does all the things that you want your quarterback to do. Doesn't make it about him, makes good plays, seems to be a really good leader. When his number is called upon and he is asked to make plays, he comes up and makes those plays. I mean, it's kind of hard to win the amount of games that the Eagles have won and be as dominant as the Eagles have been and not be good at quarterback. They've won 18 of their last 19 games. Some of that has to be because of who plays quarterback for their team. I refuse to believe otherwise. But then it's like Hurts isn't good enough because even though he has accomplished all of those things that Justin Herbert hasn't accomplished, he hasn't put up the numbers that Justin Herbert. So we don't like Herbert because he doesn't win anything, but we don't like Hurts because Hurts doesn't put up the numbers. I don't know. It just feels like a very weird mental gymnastic game that we have played. That I guess what really intrigues me most about that clip is it was like watching a Twitter argument in real life. That's what it was. It was person in the mention screaming, Jalen Hurts, you are not good enough. And then it was Eagles fan, Eagles side saying, why are you worried about that? We won the game. It was watching First Take play itself out in real life between two great NFL players. That's what's so intriguing to me about that argument.
I am probably part of the problem here as much as anyone. So I will raise my hand and say I'm probably at fault for this. But I think NFL media, myself, and NFL fans have created a very narrow, you know, keyhole type of prism we view you through. You have to, A, win football games, which in and of itself as a quarterback is two, but you have to win because of you, and you have to do it without any help, but you have to get a little help, but not too much. It's a very narrow thing. And Jalen Hurts doesn't check all those boxes. He should, by the way. We shouldn't view quarterback through this very narrow lens. We should have a more wide shot of how the position works. But Jalen Hurts, people will argue, the Eagles are winning in spite of him, which means that clearly he can't be good. They would then argue, and I have made these arguments, he is winning because of the talent around him. So clearly it can't be just you. We have now made it, and maybe it's social media, and again, raise my hand, I'm part of the problem. It seems like the only way we evaluate quarterback is, can you win, and are you doing it by yourself? And if you have any help, or we feel like the team is winning in spite of you, even a little bit, we then crush you. Imagine what we do in the way we look at quarterback right now to Tom Brady in 2001. A backup quarterback, you know, got benched at Michigan. We wouldn't view it as this great story. We'd say, well, it's all Belichick. He's just, it's smoke and mirrors. Fraud, fraud, fraud. That's how we judge quarterback now. And I think Jalen Hurts is the personification of that. He has too much help and they win in spite of him is the sense. So we can't credit him for the winning despite the fact the winning 100% exists. And it's at a very high level since he became the quarterback.
It seems to me in all of this that we've kind of created, and I mean like we as in everybody, like not just specifically any mark, everybody has created this. It feels to me like we've created a box for quarterbacks that only Patrick Mahomes can fit into. It kind of reminds me, have you ever seen like social media bits where it's like a woman is looking to date a man, but she only wants a man who's 6 foot or taller. He's got to make a certain amount of money. He's got to work at this place. He can't have kids. He's got to have all these things. We're like, well, wait, that's like 1% of the population. So you just don't want to be with anybody? That's kind of what I feel like we've done at quarterback. So you got to be a guy who puts up MVP numbers in the regular season. You got to be a clutch quarterback. You got to be the face of, like, you have to check all of these boxes. Well, the only person that checks that box in the NFL is Patrick Mahomes. He's the only quarterback that puts up great regular season numbers and has a tremendous postseason resume. Because if that's the standard that we're going to judge quarterbacks by, I can poke a hole in every other quarterback in the National Football League and a pretty big hole in every quarterback in the league. Lamar Jackson has been amazing. He's won multiple MVPs. He should have won MVP last year. His postseason resume leaves something to be desired. Joe Burrow, phenomenal. His team hasn't made the postseason the last 2 years. He just got hurt. He is going to miss a full season, basically, of playing in the National Football League. Josh Allen, his team has had the ball the last 2 seasons, and he had a chance to advance. He didn't advance, even though he's been probably the best regular season quarterback the last couple of years. I'm not saying that winning in the postseason is important. You can't put up good regular season numbers. All of those things matter. I do feel like, at least in our evaluation of quarterback, we have to leave room for, I guess, growth and development, because that's naturally going to happen. I also think that sometimes, and I saw Albert Breer tweet this, we make very sweeping generalizations. And I do this too with Justin Herbert. So I'm not removing myself from this too. It's just, A, it's really, really hard to do it. And you don't break through until you break through. This is exactly how we felt about Matt Ryan in his career. You remember Matt Ryan went to an NFC championship game. I think went to two NFC championship games. We kind of looked at the Falcons and thought, well, the Falcons will never get over the hump. And one year, the Falcons just put it together. Matt Ryan won MVP. The Falcons went to the Super Bowl. They had a chance to win the Super Bowl, and that was the best year of Matt Ryan's career. Same thing kind of happened with Cam Newton. Now, part of this is we got to allow Jalen Hurts to have his Matt Ryan year, his Cam Newton year. Maybe that season was last year. We got to allow Justin Herbert to have his Cam Newton, Matt Ryan year. Maybe that's this season. We'll obviously see how things develop and how things continue to progress. But that clip, that little bit where, I mean, in the middle of a loss, the Chiefs lost. And Chris Jones is arguing with the other team's starting quarterback about the numbers he put up. And then the other team is like, wait, we beat you guys. And that's kind of the end of it. Maybe Jalen Hurts started. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But just that little soundbite right there has just been stuck in my head since the game. It was just watching Facebook comments in real time. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Derek Young. He covers K-State for On3 Sports. I bet on the Wildcats to win, the Manhattan Wildcats, and they have cost me a lot of money so far this season. Derek, maybe I'm the problem. I bet on K-State in week one against Iowa State. I bet on them last week against Arizona. Now I'm poor.
Yeah, I think I'm the problem, too. I think the national media is the problem, too, because I took Kansas State to win the Big 12. The national media took K-State to win the Big 12. The college, the Big 12 coaches took K-State to win the Big 12. The Big 12 media took K-State to win the Big 12. We are not alone. So you know what that tells me is we are not the problem. K-State is the problem.
No, that's fair. So, Derek, let's just start with this. You've been to all of these games. You cover the team. What's gone wrong with K-State? What would you say is their biggest problem right now?
Their biggest problem is really the intangibles, and I know that's probably kind of cliche to say for a team that's 1-3 or a team that underachieved, but it's really the case. This is a team that's not disciplined enough. It looks like it's not coached well enough. They're not tough enough. They're not physical enough. And I've left seemingly every game, yeah, probably every game, thinking that they didn't care enough. Because if you don't get a wake-up call when you should lose to North Dakota, that's on you. Like, where is your pride? Like, almost losing to North Dakota should be the wake-up call. Instead, they lost to Army the next week. And you would think that's the wake-up call. You would think that would be the hit to the ego. Instead, they're lucky to even compete with Arizona. And I might be off. I don't know how everyone else feels or thinks about that game that has watched, because I've kind of insulated myself a little bit, to be quite honest. But I think a good team is K-State down like 28 or 31 to nothing at halftime. I'll be completely honest. They would have been run off the field by any team with a pulse. They scored 17 points. One of them was a touchdown run by Jace Brown that should have been called back because there was a blatant holding call missed. They scored another touchdown because Arizona dropped the punt and K-State got the ball to start off in the red zone. And another one was a field goal because Arizona muffed the punt. And the only reason they stopped Arizona is because Arizona chose not to run the ball every play. They could have ran the ball every play and probably scored 40 points.
That's the thing that's really stood out to me in the early portion of this season is I'm just not used to a K-State team that, A, doesn't look over-prepared heading into a game. I also can't think of too many K-State defenses that I've seen get pushed around like this one has so far.
Yeah, and to be honest, I'll say that I think that's why I think this is the biggest pushback I've ever seen from the fan base since I've covered the team since 2017. And there's two other teams in that time frame that didn't make a bowl, whether it be 2018 and 2020. And I don't think there's been as much pushback or as much frustration and anger as there is about this team. One, because this team is, you know, completely underachieving the expectations and the talent that is on the roster. But two is you're kind of losing that blue-collar, physical, tough mentality that we all equate Kansas State football to. That probably is Bill Snyder, you know, closing his eyes, right? Like, this is as far away from the culture as we've seen this program in some time.
Right now, we're talking to Derek Young. He covers K-State for On3 Sports, trying to figure out what's wrong with the Wildcats and how they can turn things around. Let's talk about the quarterback position. He threw for 88 yards. He had minus 16 yards rushing. It goes without saying, you can't win if your quarterback was as non-productive as Avery Johnson was. Is there a lack in his development? Is it a problem with the play calling? What do you assess to how Avery has started his season?
I think it's a multitude of factors, as it always is. There is an element that it's hard to throw downfield right now because they are not blocking well enough to hold up that long enough. And because of that, he's probably seeing ghosts a little bit, if we're being quite honest. He's probably getting rid of the ball sometimes before he needs to and going to that check down rather than being a little bit patient and a guy breaks loose and that's the guy that you should ultimately hit. I think we're seeing a little bit of that, but he is a product of his own environment right now. Avery Johnson must be better. And my biggest critique of him is probably his run pass decisions when Kansas State calls a pass, whether he should hang in the pocket and look for that next guy or just take off if the 10 or 15 yards is there. I think he's not making the right decisions in those moments. But I also cringe at the thought of really putting this on Avery Johnson because I think he's being hampered by everything around him. The backfield right now without Dylan Edwards is probably just not good enough, if I'm being quite honest. The offensive line is probably the worst offensive line I've covered since covering the team since 2017. The receivers are probably more talented and a little bit better than they have been in years past, but they're a little bit banged up right now because you don't have Jerron Bradley. And they're dropping the ball an inordinate amount, which that goes in line to being a receiver. So Avery Johnson has to be better. I think he's part of the problem. I don't think he is the problem.
Yeah, I don't think he's the problem either. It's interesting what you said about him and just taking off. Like, I kind of feel, and this is just me watching K-State as a casual observer, I feel like they've tried to make him a pocket passing kind of quarterback when that's just not really what he is. Like, they kind of got to use him like Tim Tebow. Like, they just got to use him as just a runner, run first, just kind of change their offense, I think, built around his athleticism and his skill set. But I think they've tried to make him something that he's not.
Yeah, I agree. To be quite honest, I totally agree. I've seen, and so, you know, the burner accounts, we all know who they are and what they are on Twitter and on social media, but like putting out freshman highlights of Avery Johnson and how he was as a runner. Remember, he ran for 5 touchdowns as a backup quarterback in Lubbock against Texas Tech his true freshman season. The only thing I would say is like you see his mentality as a runner that year. It is totally different than the mentality that he plays with right now. Now, his run pass decisions, again, have to be better. I'd like him to be more willing to run. But even when he runs, it looks like it's been coached out of him because he's not the same guy that he was his true freshman season. So I don't know if they've kind of shattered what that runner used to be. But I think he needs to run more. But I also think he needs to be effective, more effective when he runs.
Right now, we're talking to Derek Young for a couple more minutes covering the Kansas State Wildcats, who have gotten off to a slow start. K-State fans are usually very feisty. How are they feeling about Chris Klieman? He kind of put his foot in his mouth last week. I didn't really understand those comments after a home loss to Army. They then lose another game. You know how quickly things can change when it comes to coach and fan base relationship. Where would you say fans are right now with Klieman?
Yeah, well, I guess when we're talking about this, we are talking about the most vocal of fans, which sometimes can be different than the majority. So I would try to make that delineation or, you know, distinguish the two right off the bat. But the kind that we're talking about, the most vocal, the most passionate, are running really thin on patience right now. And to be honest, I get it because aside from the results are not good enough. You're 1-3 in a year that you expected to compete for a Big 12 championship. But at the same time, it was also a year where you asked the community to give up a home game to play Iowa State in Ireland. Okay. So you asked them to do that. They did it. You also asked north of 12,000 fans to fork over thousands and thousands of dollars to go to Ireland and support you. They said, whatever. Okay. We did it. Cause we're going to compete for a Big 12 championship this year. But now you're getting a team that has rewarded that investment, that dedication, and that sacrifice with a lack of effort, a lack of heart, a lack of toughness, and a lack of discipline. And this is not a fan base that will accept those kinds of standards when they give so much to it. So I think that's what we're running into right now. And on top of that, you have a coach that says, you know, I'm dang proud of my football team after they lost to Army, where they had very little heart, discipline, toughness, and physicality. And a coach that said, after last year, where they thought they were also going to compete for a Big 12 championship, says it's dang hard to win 8 games. And at times, I know where he's coming from with these comments, but it doesn't strike the right tone. So you have a combination of a coach not striking the right tone, a coach not meeting expectations and standards, and a coach doing this while the fan base has been asked to give up more and more and sacrifice more and more. It's just not a good combination right now.
I'll get you out of here with a two-part question. Do you have K-State making a bowl game this year? Do you think K-State loses to Kansas for the first time in a long time?
I would have K-State probably right now at 6-6, but the more and more I get closer to 5-7. So I haven't looked at it hard enough to come up with a hard line answer, but I'll give you an answer and I'll say 6-6, which gets them to a bowl game, but that lacks very little conviction. What I will tell you is I actually had Kansas State at 10-2 before the season going to Arlington to play for the Big 12 championship. But one of those two losses was a loss to Kansas in the first Sunflower Showdown at the new David Booth Stadium. At this point, I know it sounds crazy, and it's just the way I look at sports because, you know, a lot of the unexpected tends to happen. They probably might have a better chance of winning at Kansas now the way that the season has gone, because that, to me, might be the only game this group gets up for. And when that tends to happen, these things tend to favor that team that gets up for this game. So it wouldn't shock me if they still won that game this year. I hadn't picked to lose it at the beginning of the year. Now I think they actually might win it in a weird way.
That is Derek Young joining us on the show. He covers the Wildcats for On3 Sports. Derek, I hope the next time that you are on the show, I hope it's just a more positive experience for both of us. I always root for the Wildcats. Now, Rob has been dancing on the grave of K-State. This show supports Kansas State athletics. I want to see him do well.
I wouldn't count on it.
That is Derek Young joining us on the show today. Why do you have to end that way? I wouldn't count on it. That ain't right. Rob, can you think of a time where morale has been this low for football and basketball with K-State? They don't like anybody. They don't like the basketball coach. They don't like the quarterback. They don't like the football coach. They don't like nothing.
I'll give K-State fans credit.
They don't like varsity donuts anymore. What's going on?
K-State fans might be the most passionate fan base in town. Like they
just always angry.
But I've never seen them this angry.
This show supports Kansas State athletics. That's going to be my official stance when we talk about K-State. This show supports K-State athletics.
We now support K-State athletics. When they win the Big 12 title, it's like, oh, that's nice. When they're 1-3, should be 0-4. Oh, we love them. God bless them. They're getting smoked.
We have a K-State guest on every week. How much more can I support them?
To talk about how bad they are. We have guests on and be like, yo, how bad is this? We've had Kurtz, we've had Kellis, we've had
Derek. That's not my fault. This start winning games, and then the tone will change. The tone will change. I can't talk about you when you I can only do with the information I've been given with. Y'all keep losing, so we got to talk about it. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I want to tell you two quotes that I read today that are relevant to Kansas City and or the Chiefs. The first quote is about the World Cup. Now, I would say that I'm mildly interested in the World Cup. There's a lot of things about it I just don't know. And I've been learning more and more just talking to Rob about it, who's a big soccer fan. Spectre is a big soccer fan about it as a born and raised in true Kansas City. And I just want to see Kansas City showcased on the world stage so people outside of the area can understand how incredible where we live is. There was a story that I read and the headline was, Kansas City's hospitality industry braces for World Cup workforce scramble. And then the little blurb underneath it said that right now there are more than 6,000 open food service job listings and there is no plan to address this. And people that run restaurants are really, really worried that they're not going to be able to handle the influx of visitors that we're going to have for this event next year. So I'm reading the article and people are making really good points. Like, hey, this is how many people we normally have. This is what we think we're going to need. And they were raising some pretty valid concerns about this. There was a quote in this story that really put things into perspective for me. Because, again, I don't know. I don't follow soccer like this. If you go off the World Cup team's numbers, and we have their president on the show. We're going to try to get her back on the show. If you go by their numbers, hosting the World Cup for Kansas City is equivalent to us hosting seven Big 12 tournaments at one time for 3 weeks. Just think about that. Think about how big the Big 12 tournament is, the influx of people that come to downtown Kansas City, and think if we did that seven times around the country, and we did that for basically a month. It blew my mind. I just didn't have a good understanding of what that is. So in this story, it also continues to go on and say that they are preparing for 650,000 visitors to come to Kansas and Missouri during the World Cup. The closest example is the NFL draft. The NFL draft, they believe, brought around 300,000 visitors. So we are talking about an event that is twice as big as the draft was in the city. Numbers that blew my mind when I read this. So that's just one quote that I want to share with you guys. If you use the numbers that the World Cup team is providing, it would be like Kansas City hosting seven Big 12 tournaments at one time for three times the amount. We're talking 39 days that we're talking about them doing this. That's a long time. That's a really long time to be doing this. The other quote that I want to share to you guys, I got this from Arrowhead Pride. I like that they do this bit called Arrow Headlines, which is good. It kind of links you to other pieces. I like reading them, seeing what's on there. And one of the stories linked to an anonymous coach that was talking about the 0-2 stretch for the Kansas City Chiefs. And the quote that really jumped out to me is, the Chiefs' offense doesn't perform like a team that had a month-long training camp. I was thinking, man, you're right. The Chiefs tout how their training camp gets you prepared for the regular season. Now, some of that is just due to injuries. You had Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy during training camp. You don't have Rashee Rice or Xavier Worthy during the regular season. I'm guessing that is a major reason why that's the case. But I thought it was really good the Chiefs are really big on preseason preparation and how that gets them ready for the regular season. That is not something that you are currently watching on Sundays when you watch this football team. So, Rob, those were two quotes that jumped out at me today as I was getting ready for the show.
Let's take the Chiefs one first. We can circle back to soccer. That is a really alarming quote when you consider the amount of people that we had I've had on the show, former players, coaches, people who are around Andy Reid, and what do they all say? Andy Reid runs the most grueling camp in the NFL. I finished The Kingdom a while back, the ESPN Plus series. Very good if you're a Chiefs fan. And what do they all say? When you're up in St. Joe, we do long drive drill, and coach gets you ready for the end of the year and the grind. No one's better at coach than the training camp. This, that, and the other about how great Andy Reid is. An unnamed coach in the NFL is giving a quote saying they look like they didn't have camp at all. What changed? Because every year I feel like, and Mitch Holtis comes on and says it, it's, hey, Chiefs training camp is a grind and they prepare better than anyone in the league. That's why they're better than anyone in the league. It's not just coach. It's not just quarterback. They have a higher level of preparation. If you're telling me 2 weeks in, coaches in the league are wondering, hey, what they do in St. Joe, that should be a five-alarm fire of panic for Chiefs fans, because every other time we have ever talked about training camp, it is glowing reviews and how difficult it is. What was different this year? What changed? Because someone is seeing something very, very different from the Chiefs early in the season.
It does feel to me that there is a little bit of, it's finally open season on the Chiefs. That, for the most part, the media has been patting the Chiefs on the back for the last 5 years. There really hasn't been much to criticize for the Chiefs. They play in a lot of big games. They win a lot of big games. Their quarterback is the face of the league. Everybody loves their head coach. Their tight end has become a rising star over the last handful of seasons. There's been a lot of things to really like about the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that teams' opinions are changing about the Chiefs, that now they finally feel gettable. It's kind of like what happened last year with KU. Like, there's so many comparisons. Like, I remember sitting there. And Rob, you remember I texted you when this happened. I was at the last time that Kansas came to Mizzou Arena. And it was pretty obvious. This is when Grady Dick was there and Jalen Wilson was there and all of them. It was pretty obvious in the first like 5 minutes. Yeah, Missouri's not close to where this team is. Like, they're about to get run off the floor. And then I remember texting you, Rob, after the first 5 minutes. I was like, Missouri can beat them. Kansas doesn't have better talent than Missouri does this year. And as we saw that play out over the course of time, I think a lot of people are kind of having that feeling right now about the Chiefs. Hey, we can beat them. We used to feel like we had to play our A game and everything had to go right in order for us to beat Kansas City. I just don't think teams feel that way about Kansas City. And I think more and more media people are at least starting to echo sort of what they've been hearing around the league. Here's Adam Schefter.
I think other teams look at them and think for the first time in a while, they're beatable. Oh. This is the first time in a while that Patrick Mahomes, he's never lost three straight games in the NFL. This is the first time it's ever happened. So that air of invincibility, that aura that's been around them, it's dented.
No, right, absolutely it's dented, and it was dented last year. And quite honestly, it wasn't because Patrick Mahomes, you know, got them through all those games 15-2. It was their defense. Their defense, by the way, yesterday played about as good as you can play.
Yes.
Like, they were outstanding in that game. So, if anything, that defense is going to have to carry the show again, just like it did last year.
And I think if you are the Chiefs and you are hearing this, to me, their hope seems to be, let's tread water until we get healthy. We are expecting to get healthy and get right in the middle part of October, and then it's going to be hell to pay for all of these teams. That has to be what they are thinking. That is basically what we were saying in August about this team. Man, if you can get everything to line up, if you can get everybody healthy, it will really open up this offense. This offense hasn't, they haven't had their best skill position player for a year. They haven't had Rashee Rice. They now don't have last year who you thought was their best skill position player. They haven't, he doesn't have a catch so far this season. So I think the Chiefs are taking a little bit of damage right now, a little bit of punishment. And the hope just has to be, hey, if we can just be around 500 and we get Rashee Rice back and we get Xavier Worthy, we are still the same championship DNA team that you have always seen. And we're going to start making teams pay at that point. I think that has to be the mindset inside of one Arrowhead drive. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by James Palmer, friend of the show. We'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs 0-2 starts and also the tush push. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.